Residents in South Norwalk are pushing back against plans to transform Manresa Island into a commercial destination, which would include potentially restaurants, event space, even an outdoor amphitheater. Neighbors saying the project could bring more than 1 million visitors a year. It could really impact the traffic, strain emergency access, and overwhelm already congested roadways. To talk more about this, we welcome Kim Tromba to the show to discuss more of these concerns around the concept of Manresa Wilds. Kim, welcome to WICC, and thank you so much for being willing to talk on the air. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Good morning, and thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Oh, no, really, Kim. I've been very focused on, to be totally honest with you, I think, first of all, my model, if you will, for this show is that I like to give all sides of the story. And right now, Connecticut's in this very interesting place. It's in a very sweet spot, honestly, because there are currently three major properties in Fairfield County, specifically, that are transforming. One is obviously Manresa Wilds. Another is Great Island in Darien. And most recently is the former Army Engine Plant in Stratford. And so oftentimes I will have either the town or city leaders on for where these properties are, and the developers, the people who are behind the property, and they're having these meetings and conversations. And I will say, I think Manresa Wilds has tried to engage the public a lot. Feel free to push back on that, though. It seems that they have. But this is the first time where I'm hearing people go, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. What are we trying to do here with Manresa? And so I really do appreciate getting this side, because I have kind of failed to do so, or at least to get people to come on to give both sides on Manresa so far.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, just to start, I live in Harborview, which is the community at the north end on Manresa Island. And we're connected to the mainland by a half mile of one lane causeway. Just to kind of frame where I'm located and how much I am affected, our neighborhood is the last stop just past Manresa. So, you know, I was at all the community engagements. I've been very involved from the beginning, and I very much appreciate, you know, what the McCords are doing in purchasing this property and cleaning up the coal ash and all the, you know, health concerns, which we applaud. We truly do. And so, you know, all the way up until they gave their final project reveal in February at the aquarium, their last community event there, you know, we seemed to be all on board with the concern of traffic. Traffic was always a big concern, and quite frankly, a concern of theirs as well, from my perspective. And so there's just no plan. And so, you know, the concern of the community, and I can't speak for everybody, obviously, but the general population is, what is the plan? You know, Norwalk has notoriously rubber stamped projects like this in the past without having a plan. You know, something that's come to light this week for me, and it really was like a light bulb, is that we are identified as the worst traffic corridor in the country. Can you believe that?
Wait, really? Where did you hear that or read that, or where'd that come from? I haven't heard that.
So I know from the NRIX 2024 scorecard, we are identified at I-95 southbound from Westport, Norwalk through Stamford, Greenwich, is the busiest interstate corridor in the U.S., especially during morning peak hours.
So with traffic, you mean, like on the roadways?
Traffic.
So that that I knew, and I know about even on the trains, that stretch, that corridor, Fairfield County essentially is the, I mean, that's why I think the federal government wanted to put a lot of money into Metro North. That's a whole other story. But yes, I did know that. Yes, about how congested it is, which is crazy when you think about like LA highways. It's nuts to think that I-95's got it beat. But yes, you are correct. Yes.
Worse than Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Seattle, Houston, Boston, just to name a few.
Yep.
We are the number one across the country. You know, well, the developer's transportation strategy memorandum that they have put in with their application for a special permit, they are suggesting that there'll be an additional 792,000 new visitors to Manresa Island each year. Now, when you add in the regular traffic, we're estimating over 1.1 million. And this is just reporting. This isn't studies. There's been no traffic studies to support the actual. These are just guesstimated numbers based on reporting. from the applicant. Norwalk has not performed a traffic study either from the commission or an outside provider. This is what we're asking for. Slow down, Norwalk. How can we stamp this as a yes when we don't know what we don't know? We don't know.
So
we don't have the infrastructure.
I'm glad that you said that because you, you mentioned before that Norwalk has rubber stamped projects like this in the past. I wrote it down. What projects? Could you give me an idea of like where you've seen like, oh, we probably should have thought that one through a little bit more, Norwalk. Like what projects? Could you give me just some examples?
So there are a lot of, I don't have specifics with me right this moment, but there are plenty of new apartments that are being built. There was a new school that was just built here in South Norwalk. We don't know the ramifications of all of those community impact studies. There's been no impact studies. There's over 100 construction projects happening in Norwalk right now, and nobody manages who's doing what. It takes me an additional 20 minutes to get to my office in Westport now than it did 6 months ago. The impact of all of the construction happening. There's a hotel that was just approved on Water Street. You know, there's been no impact studies, not to mention our water, you know, flooding problems that were so low level here, and how the impact on Water Street with the flooding when there's the high moon tide, you know, and the rainstorm at the same time, which happened a few weeks ago, where streets were impassable in our flood prone area. You know, that's another concern. There's no studies on the impacts of weather, traffic, general community impact. You know, we really need to have the right person come in here that is not attached to the city, that is an independent, come in and go, hey, let me just check out where the pattern of traffic is flowing, in what direction and from what, and how can we remediate that? We have no sidewalks on the causeway right now. We have pedestrians, cyclists, moms with new babies, push, you know, with not even a sidewalk. We have dump trucks coming with dirt, coming to bring for the already approved phase one of Manresa of the trails. We have trucks coming. I calculate every 3 to 5 minutes. I walk that route with my dog several days a week. The impact of that hasn't been studied. That phase was approved without impact study of traffic and infrastructure. So we already can't handle the extra traffic that is created to create phase one, not to mention the bridge project, which is still happening over here and has been delayed and delayed. And I'm hearing now 2030, 2032, maybe 2035, which will continue through the opening of phase one, which is expected to open next year.
We are chatting now with Kim Tromba, and Kim is one of many residents in Norwalk very concerned about plans to transform Manresa Island into a commercial destination. The biggest concern happens to be about traffic, which is understandable, but even access to emergency, you know, having emergencies get in and out, I should say the vehicles, if they need to get to, you know, homes or even through that area, the overwhelming, I would say, congested roads that are already in that area. Here's my question for you, Kim, because I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think these are legitimate concerns. Studies don't lie. You're absolutely right about that. Would traffic studies help, would you say? You know, so you had mentioned we haven't seen a traffic study, for example, in the city of Norwalk in general, which I can certainly, right, you know, go back and confirm, look at all of that. But we haven't seen a lot of traffic studies in general. But specifically for this project, would that, A, make you feel more comfortable, or at least give more, you feel like, you know, hey, the public is really being heard on these concerns? And the other part that you mentioned was having kind of a third party. So not somebody directly involved with the project, not somebody with the city, somebody coming in and saying, hey, like, we have nothing to do with you guys, so we can give you an unbiased, you know, overlook at what's going on.
Yes, thank you. I do agree that it would give the public a satisfaction of there's been an independent study by some, you know, obviously a trusted and reputable source, that then we would have real factual information. And to be clear, not just traffic, but also impact study, and really to all arteries leading to 95. You know, this is going to affect Rowayton. This is going to affect East Norwalk. This is not just a South Norwalk conversation. In my opinion, this is going to affect Darien and Westport. I'm surprised that they're not concerned about this, or maybe they are.
Well, especially with Great Island, like I mentioned, which is also being majorly, they're in a proposal kind of process right now of do we overdevelop, do we underdevelop, what do we do with it? And that is interesting, especially because those two are not too far away from each other. It's a good point.
Traffic's going to find a way. You know, the traffic doesn't go away. It's going to find its way down Route 1, down neighborhood roads. So, you know, the general thing here is that they need to deny this application. They need to deny it. They need to slow it down. They need to break it apart, make it smaller. The rubber stamping of this new zone would travel with the property. Now, this is a solo a proprietor that owns this. This is not an this is owned by a person. The McCords, they could go and sell this with this new zone, you know, if they approve this amphitheater and event space, double level parking, cell tower, you know, all the things that they're planning, they could approve this and they could turn around and sell this. They need to put guardrails on this thing. They need to make sure that that doesn't happen. You know, are we going to have, you know, I don't know, the next Six Flags here? You know, in addition to all that, right? And so what I think the traffic study is going to show is that it's not possible, that the roads here cannot support the project, the regional destination that they're making this, the commercial destination that they're making it. I think it's going to find that there can't be any parking on site, that everything is going to have to come by ferry and maybe, I don't know, a bus of sorts. But even that our roadways can't handle.
Well, and now you're also prone. Right. Well, and you're mm-hmm. also talking about, Kim, quality of life for neighbors. And look, I know that this is a touchy subject. I do, you know, especially when you talk about something totally separate, but, you know, affordable housing. And I think sometimes that gets so misconstrued when people say we don't want overdevelopment, that it's like, I don't want people moving into my city or town. That's not necessarily the case. People pay good money to live in these cities or towns because it was attractive maybe 20, 30 years ago because of the open space, because of the proximity to go to a city but not live in the city. And so when you're overdeveloping, you cannot ignore the fact that it does have an impact on the people who purchased properties to be there, and it's now not what it was. I mean, you can't ignore that and kind of, you know, again, to use a phrase, you say rubber stamp. You can't just say that neighbors will just put up with it. I mean, it's one thing if you moved somewhere. So, for example, if you moved somewhere where there was, you know, I look at the people near the Tweed Airport, and I'm not saying that their mm-hmm. concerns don't matter. They absolutely do. But you moved near an airport. You did. You knew that airport could maybe at some point be commercial. And again, I'm not saying that they're not right in their concerns, but there is something to be said about when you move somewhere and you know mm-hmm. that there could be a future of development or whatever. That's one thing. But when you're talking about where you're living, again, you know, Manresa Island was something completely different, but has been defunct for a very long time. And so you do have to take into consideration that you're going to have neighbors who say, wait a minute, this is not what we invested into living here. This is not the quality of life we invested into. That does matter. I think it does.
100%. In fact, I love that you brought this up because the Connecticut General Statute 8-2 directs the commission to lessen congestion in the streets, promote public health and the general welfare, and facilitate adequate transportation. You know, those responsibilities require evidence. Those are written into our statutes. That is our protection as residents in Norwalk. You know, the commissioners need to be looking at this, and we've reminded them countless times at these hearings. The third public hearing is going to be coming up August 19th. The last hearing we had on the 12th, we had two-thirds or more of the people coming up saying, like, look at the statutes. The special permit cannot be approved based on the statutes that they need to honor when considering bringing, you know, approving a special application permit like they are asking for and a zone change. This is what the commissioners need to be looking at. And that's why the studies are so important, because it is actually the statutes that require that.
Well, and again, it's when you have concrete data in front of you, it's very hard to deny that you can't overlook it, essentially. And so, Kim, I want to thank you and the many neighbors that have reached out to WICC to make sure this is getting out on the airwaves and making sure we see the full scope of this project and certainly keep us posted on what happens next. I will say for you at home, we also have reached out to Manresa Wilds to voice these concerns. I would like to take what Kim has told us and share it with Manresa Wilds directly here on the air and see what their response is, and see if we can get things like traffic studies, for example, and really look at, you know, do we have a third party interested in coming in to look at this as well? I also think that's a question for the mayor. And so we're going to reach out to her as well and continue these conversations as early as next week on the show. Kim, again, I want to thank you for giving us the time on WICC. Your perspective matters, and we will certainly continue to track this story very closely here on the show. Thank you so much.